So, as we were just talking a few minutes ago, you know, we were right touching on this whole area of the concept of resonance, the concept of engagement, and really talking about how, as we're focusing on resonance or engagement, it cuts through some old, you know, stereotypical categories, dichotomies, like being directive or non-directive, being interpretive versus simply receiving, being active or not. But so maybe mm-hmm. let's talk a little more about, you know, that whole thing about engagement and resonance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, two things come to me. I mean, one is that, I mean, what to me makes something so-called focusing-oriented, and I'm not even sure I will use that anymore, but let's just say, is not so much what's done or said, but how it's done or said. In other words, if it's done in the spirit that, you know, I'm not an authority who's telling you this is how it is, right? On the other hand, I'm not just a blank mirror, right, who's neutral. And the way I do it is to share it and then make space to see how it is received, right? Because that's the safeguard. Well, maybe that's not right what I'm sharing, or maybe a party, you know what I mean? The how cuts through a lot of those dichotomies because, to me, they're all spurious when we're in this realm of resonance and, you know, and inter-affecting and engaging. Another spurious one is verbal and nonverbal, right? Do we just talk, or do we let the body move, and, you know, and we don't talk, and we do some body work or body movement, or, you know, speak, you know, again, and of course there's room for all of that, depending on the energy, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the main thing I think that you were sharing and I was getting is that that whatever we say or do comes from that place of resonance and engagement. That, right? That you and I are engaged in or connected to a kind of field, we might say, a space, and within that many things come to awareness, right? Images, thoughts, energies, rhythms, sensitivities, movements, things we observe about the client, about ourselves. And from all of that, it's like something comes that maybe help facilitate a next step of some kind, or we may. Mm-hmm. And that's that engagement. That's what you were getting.
Yeah.
Another thing, and then I'll let you respond, is when you were coming from that engaged place, right? Two things. One is it's very enlivening, right? It's like, Serge is coming alive. The caveat to that, and I've been known to have this too, is it may be so strong that it takes over the space, right? And could feel like it's dominating now because it's so powerful, you know, let's say a client's energy, which maybe is a little more subdued. So I'm just saying there also needs to be a sensitive attunement
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
how our energy or that way of being is affecting the field or the space.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other point.
Yeah. So as you're talking, it feels, you know, I want to summarize some of the big thing I hear. We can get lost in words and spurious distinctions, but the important thing is a certain spirit, a certain space, a certain emotional atmosphere, and that spirit, you know, we've been describing in terms of engagement and in terms of resonance. When we talk about engagement, you point out that with engagement, it can actually be so much energy that it's overpowering. And so it's interesting to really bring and keep in mind that we're not talking about engagement alone. We're talking about engagement tempered by a counterbalance, a countervailing force, which is attunement. So you're going to be attuned to yourself and attuned to the other. You know, the part that I think both of us keep insisting on and we find a lot of resonance with each other about is the sense that you cannot force yourself to tune yourself out. That in a way, what we both put a lot of value on is the notion of being, of course, attuned to the client, of course, resonating with the client, but it's not the kind of attunement that, you know, snuffs yourself out or tunes yourself out. And it's not the kind of resonance where you're trying to simply, in a way, be a neutral tape recorder that records the sound and plays it back exactly the same way. But resonance is like the same way, say, two drums are going to be resonating differently because they're different drums. What you're playing out is something that's going to be a function of who you are, and there's no shame about being who you are. You simply are not in the process of acting out who you are, and this is controlled for by attunement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe one more thing there. As we're attuned, you said, to the client, to ourself, our body, and also to the space or the in-between, I would say. Mm-hmm. There's an aura, you know, in the field, right? A certain shared kind of energy or that, you know, is part of the resonance, the atmosphere, whatever. And then you say, you know, that resonance or playing something out is tempered by that attunement, yeah, that awareness, sensitivity, yeah, to the, to its possible impact, you know, in the. The other thing that came to me that also keeps the process safe is that, if I share something that comes from me particularly, or comes from my resonance with this situation or the space, I always check, or invite the client really to check with themselves or their body to sense its resonance in them. So in other words, just notice what I'm sharing, see if that resonates at all. Or notice if what I'm suggesting might feel okay for us to experiment or try. This is perfectly okay if it doesn't. In fact, I wouldn't want to do it until your body or something in you gave a yes or an okay. So that checking, without that step, it can become directive. The therapist directing.
So it, in a way, what you're describing is something that's incredibly simple. But it's also incredibly complex and multidimensional. And I want to unpack a little bit of it, including that in the unpacking, I want to communicate a sense of my own awe and, you know, for this process, that there's a lot in it under this apparent simplicity. Okay? And some of the things that are included in it is in saying, you know, I'm inviting you to really check the resonance for it. What we're doing as a therapist when we do that is it's a sign. First of all, it's essentially a pause. You know, we're not, you know, getting caught in the process, if you want, or the content of the discussion, but we're building in a pause. To say, you know, let's just not get carried away and pay attention to what's inside. And that pause is actually something that tells the client, you know, I really respect what it is that you are and feel inside, and I'm inviting you to bring it in, you know, that's valuable. So, in a way, a few minutes before, when we were talking and we're talking about bringing in what is the therapist's resonance as a person in there, and it has a place. That in, you know, of course, you know, it's a question of respect, both of what happens, the client is a person and the therapist is a person. And really built in the structure of the session is that respect for how we each can react differently. You know, so in the example you give as a therapist, I tell the client, you know, it's not because I say it that it's right. You know, how does it feel for you? And so in a way, it's that the whole DNA of that relationship of respect and attunement that is really, you know, there in full force. That's why it feels so moving, you know, to just look at it as something that is a very profound structure of the exchange in a moment.
Mm. So one of the aspects then, Serge, that's maybe profound and complex in its simplicity,
mm-hmm.
yeah, is that this pause or and inward checking, yeah,
mm-hmm.
really goes across the board for almost anything, because it. It's not only a set of respect for what we feel inside or sense, right, or what our body knows, if we want to use that language, and that it has value, yeah. But it also shows that, to me, the word that came is that I'm non-invested in what I'm sharing. In other words, the client says, you know, I don't want to do that, or that doesn't feel right. That's perfectly okay. In fact, I'm glad. I'm happy
mm-hmm.
to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try to hold what I think is a spiritual quality of non-attachment or non-investment. I am attached to the well-being of humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not to my specific knowing of anything at any given moment, because mm-hmm. I could be way off, you know? So I guess there's a humility in that that's conveyed, perhaps. But the other thing that I noted earlier that we didn't share, I just wanted to say, when you were talking about the two roles, I mean the two aspects, the role and your humanness, the other thing that I noted down, but that maybe is part of this, is that we also have at least some kind of expertise. So it isn't just that I'm in the role of a therapist, and in that role, right, I protect, you know, and I have certain ethical codes and this and that I'm a human being who has, you know, feelings and reactions and sensitivities. But also as Serge, who's been around a number of years as a person and as a therapist, and has gone through your own growth and healing and struggles and challenges, like me and everyone, also has a certain expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Not a, you know, not an authority, but you know certain things, right? And so that's the other thing that it's a kind of key dynamic, because I know certain things and yet I have no investment in imposing those things.
Right.
No matter how wise they may seem. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and to me that so that resonance or the checking always trumps everything else.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So you know, it's interesting actually, you mentioned the two points, and obviously as you noted, they're very related. You know, that thing about the non-attachment. But also the being an expert and checking, or, you know, having some knowledge but not acting like an expert and know-it-all, and the mm-hmm. checking and the humility, and the point that you are, you know, in both cases, what it is walking that fine line of not going into the too extreme, the all or nothing. It's not going to be about I'm the expert and you're not, or I know nothing and, you know, I shut up and I'm just there to be there or to repeat something. But is a sense of, you know, actually having that engagement and being fully present and having ideas and feelings and opinions and all kinds of things. And at the same time, not being fighting, you know, to make those central, but, you know, putting forward these feelings, these ideas, and using them as tools, and using the engagement, but at the same time not imposing it and actually making room so that there is, in a way, a sense of modeling, being fully present and engaged, but also leaving plenty of room for the client to come up instead of, in a way, modeling, you know, shirking and disappearing, and expecting that the client suddenly is going to feel the void and being a full individual being from that place.
So again, it's kind of, again, like an interactive engagement, yeah? There's on the one side that which you already know or have knowledge of or some expertise in and some awareness of. And on the other hand, making room for the client to fully connect with themselves and their knowledge and expertise, and even though it perhaps isn't as full as they would like it to be, or they wouldn't be with you, right? Yeah, so there's the other part of that then there's a lot of room for creativity in what I call, you know, improvisation, in other words. And those moments of shared interaction, many things are possible creatively if we hold that our main intention is to, that in this moment I get a felt sense or a feel that this might facilitate a shift or a forward movement or help through maybe an old pattern or something. I mean, right? That's, yeah. It and may not, but it might, you know, that's...
But so it's interesting, even in your language, it's very nice that you're talking about facilitate a movement, you know. So from this place, from this language, is a sense of the two, the therapist and the client, being engaged in a common endeavor and experimenting and playing and being creative together. But, you know, the sense of your language is about that there's a movement that's implicit in the situation that's going to happen, as opposed to the therapist is going to have an intervention that is going to help the client make some progress. You know, so we're talking about relational field where there is a common endeavor and each people bringing in their own stuff, but something is coming out of that common creative endeavor.
Yes, that, I think that's very important. So I just hold that, and I only have a couple more minutes, but that's, yeah, what I was getting there, Serge, is that, again, what I said earlier about how things are done, it's not like we have a pre-made or pre-formed or ready-made idea. Okay, in this situation, this is what we do. But rather we have maybe a whole toolbox of possibilities that in that relational engagement may emerge in this moment as a possible. But it's not preformed, right? It's just like felt sense comes, an idea might come, right?
Yeah.
Or, oh, well, maybe this might.
And so since I know we're ending, you know, this conversation today here, maybe what I want to do is emphasize the part of, you know, you said we have, you know, a toolbox, we have things to choose, but you also said, you know, to use in this moment. And I think within this context, when we think about it is, you know, from this creative perspective and these various tools we have, is the sense of the richness and potential of the moment. That in a way, we, you know, as, you know, we are with the client, there is also a sense that this is time where every little instant, every moment is a defining moment. We make this choice or that choice. It's a creative decision. You know, we are intensely alive in doing it, and that's the quality of engagement. So it's not engagement in the sense of having, you know, something to sell or something to impose on somebody, but it's the sense that, you know, this is a moment where you know, real important life decisions are made. Because moment by moment, things change based on what you do. And there's something exciting unfolding. And shared.
Yeah, so in a sense, when you said moment, and then the word momentum comes, that the moment also has a momentum. It's not just a static moment. It's a lived moment that has momentum. It's moving, right, into something. I think it's almost like what I call riding on the edge or the wave of that momentum. Guides us into whatever might be possibly facilitative, you know, of continuing that momentum.
But, you know, just to create a phrase there, in a way, it's like the philosophy of the implicit, you know, the way to put it is to say the moment has momentum. Or, you know, just try and connect with the momentum of the moment. You know, something of that nature. As you stay in the moment, you know, you connect to its momentum.
Yeah, that's really, it's less abstract than the implicit even, or something like that.
Yeah.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.